from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. There are over 4,000 public housing units in the United States, all overseen by HUD, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The federal government labeled 44 of those units as having troubled finances, trouble in management and living conditions, and being on the risk of being shut down. Richmond, whose housing authority received $26 million in 2013 to provide safe and decent housing for the poor, elderly, and disabled, is one of the nation's worst. Recently, the Center for Investigative Reporting, the San Francisco Chronicle, and KQED Radio disclosed a study focusing on deplorable conditions of residents in the Richmond housing units, financial abuse, and conflicts of interest. Federal government has threatened to take control if financial benchmarks are not met, and in this forum segment, we want to focus on the story. Amy Julia Harris is here with us in studio. She's housing and development reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting and the lead on the investigation into the Richmond Housing Authority. The CIAR's investigation, as I said, has been produced in partnership with San Francisco Chronicle and KQED Public Media. Amy Julia Harris, welcome. Good morning.
Hi, thank you.
And Bill Lindsay's here, city manager of the City of Richmond. Welcome. Good morning to you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you both here. Amy, let me begin with you. This is we just got off talking about North Korea, so let's not be absurd here. But this is a disturbing study that's come out here. I mean, long-time maintenance problems that have been unresponded to, mice, vermin, mold, raw sewage. I mean, you can go through a whole catalog here, bed bugs, security problems. I mean, it's almost like no end to it. And the question is, I think the real question is, people are being hurt. I mean, old, vulnerable, poor people are being terribly hurt by essentially neglect.
Yeah, we in our investigation, we decided to look at the two largest housing complexes in Richmond. And what we found going in was, you know, on the outside, a lot of these places don't look too bad. But residents' stories on the ground of maintenance problems that weren't resolved, that were marked as resolved, and things just taking forever to get fixed seemed to be the common story that we had heard. You know, there was one resident that we had talked to who didn't have heat for more than a year, had been complaining to the housing authority for months, and it still didn't get fixed. And we are talking about some of the most vulnerable people here, very old and predominantly disabled people in two of these large complexes. And they said that some of their complaints were falling on deaf ears and they just weren't getting fixed.
There was a woman in a wheelchair who wanted a safety bar installed in a bathtub. And she had to do essentially give herself sponge baths out of the sink because she couldn't get out of the wheelchair. 9 months this went on, a whole gestation without any response to what would have cost $40, an easy thing to install. I mean, these are the kinds of stories that you highlight. And the fact of the matter is that HUD says that this is a housing situation that, in terms of health and safety, isn't up to grade. You got 16 life-threatening reports in recent years too in these housing units from HUD, and so you get into the question of what needs to be done and why. I mean, we're going to talk with the city manager about that, but these are for the most part African American people, poor people, and not necessarily, you know, because somebody will say, oh, these are people on the dole and everything. These are people who are paying rent too, and in some instances, the rents aren't even being collected.
Right. Yeah. So it's about 75% of the residents of Richmond public housing pay between $200 and $500 a month in rent. And one of the things that they had said was just that sometimes it's the basic property management things that aren't getting done. You know, they'll file a complaint and never hear back. Sometimes their paperwork is getting lost. Talked to many different people who had said that they were getting charged late fees when they turned in their rent on time. So it was these sorts of things that people said that they've been dealing with continually for years.
Again, Amy Julia Harris here in studio with us is housing and development reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting. Bill Lindsay is city manager of the City of Richmond. We invited Tim Jones, the executive director of the Richmond Housing Authority, to be on the program. He was unable to join us. Big question in many people's minds is you have all this debt that's run up. Now I know you're putting some of these places up for private purchase, and we'll talk about that, and moving away from the indebtedness, and that's to your credit, I think. But people wondering, why is Tim Jones still there? I mean, this is a guy who went to Midtown Manhattan, had a $400 steak dinner, charged it to essentially the housing authority, gave a big going away party for one of his lieutenants who also had contracts with members of his own family. And I mean, this is all reported in the CIR report. And it came out of, again, the housing budget. This is when payrolls can't even be made. Why is this guy still in position of power?
Well, first of all,
he is under you right now, isn't he?
That is correct. As of a couple of years ago, he's a direct report to me. I want to first say we have a responsibility for 2,866 housing units between Section 8 and direct public housing support to provide decent, safe, and sanitary housing. And to the extent that we have failed to do that, then I personally and professionally apologize to that. And I think the report does point out shortcomings, and certainly any department of the city can be better, can get better.
But you're taking on responsibility for the executive director. I mean, the buck has to stop with him. And he's blaming budget shortfalls and cutbacks in previous years and so forth. But all these other places throughout the country don't have those problems.
Yeah. Well, let me address a couple of things. And one concern I have is the data that we have with the Housing Authority doesn't support the anecdotal evidence that was gathered. And I'm not questioning it, but we seem to have a disconnect between what we're hearing from the residents and the Housing Authority staff, and we need to get a closer link. We need to do some more public outreach. For example—
Well, excuse me, but CIR said they couldn't even get documents. Isn't that right, Amy Julia? I mean, in terms of documentation, there were no documents available in many cases?
We did receive documents. So I think that the disconnect that Mr. Lindsay is talking about is, the Housing Authority's work orders for some of their maintenance things. It shows that they're completing some of these maintenance requests in a pretty quick manner, that they don't have huge backlogs. Things are reportedly getting done. But
you also allege that some of those things that were supposed to be repaired weren't repaired?
Right. And so this is where I think the disconnect is that we went and followed up on a few of those maintenance reports and talked to people who kept track of when they complained and then when Housing Authority workers came to fix the problems. And what we found in the cases that we put in the report was that things were marked as completed, but the problems weren't actually resolved. So, an exterminator would say, on the Housing Authority's records that they went and the unit had been treated, the roaches or mice had been eliminated, but, people continued to suffer with these problems for months. So we found a few cases of that, and I think that that's the disconnect that Mr. Lindsay
and
was just
talking
to, about.
Just Lindsay, go ahead. If I could, just add on to that. For example, the issue with the resident and the grab bars, what our data shows is that we received a work order contact for the grab bars. We were there the next day. And the work order shows that they were already there. There was a request to lower the shower head, which we did, and that was taken care of within a day. And the other situation referenced about the heat, we show that within a week, the HVAC for several units was bundled and contracted according to HUD procurement guidelines. Parts were ordered, and between start to finish, the heat was on in 2 weeks.
But why would a tenant lie about it? I mean, because
no, actually, I don't think that a tenant is lying. But I think that our data is not good, and I think that speaks to a maintenance management system that really does need to be looked at and needs an overhaul. And I really do think it's important to take care of this systemically. Otherwise, you can change out of an executive director, but if you don't change the system, you still have the same problems.
Well, you do. And right now, the problems are legion. I mean, you've got squatters on the sixth floor. You've got drug dealers and prostitutes and crime there, at least according to reports I've read. And security guards afraid to go there. I mean, you're paying money for security guards, but they don't want to, Cypress Security doesn't want to go in the area because they're afraid.
Well, that actually is a real concern, and I was appreciative of that being put into the report, is if we have contracted security personnel that are not doing their job, then that's something we need to address.
Are you confident that Tim Jones is doing his job?
I'm confident that Tim Jones is doing his job. Am I confident that he cannot do better? I think that he can. But I do think that it is a system problem first. And there were times with the HUD reports where management of the authority was in fact getting good reports. And when Mr. Jones first came on board, and this is documented and it's even included in the story, there was some good progress made in terms of changing the housing authority from a troubled housing authority back in 2004 to one that was at least a standard performer and on its way up. So we need to get back there.
Well, we also need to bring some listener involvement into this discussion. And in fact, we particularly would like to hear from some people in Richmond Public Housing. Invite you to call. But if you have questions or comments for Amy Julia Harris, who's the lead investigator on this, or Bill Lindsay, who's the city manager in the city of Richmond, we welcome your involvement in the program. And you can join us now toll-free. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. That's, again, toll-free, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any of your questions or comments onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And you can also, of course, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And I want to bring our listeners into this. But let me go back, Amy Julia Harris, to you, because federal officials, federal inspectors actually also advised that the foundations at this hacienda, one of the two places that you study, were separating from the walls. There were cracks everywhere. I mean, this is not seismic up to safety at all.
Right. So we looked at a 2009 inspection record that cited on all six floors there were cracks and that the walls were separating and that there were foundation problems throughout Hacienda. And we requested from the federal government but haven't received it what the housing authority was doing to fix these issues and don't have really any information from the housing authority, didn't get any answers from the executive director about what had been done to address these problems. All we know is that still, you know, just a few weeks ago, I went to Hacienda and some of the same problems that inspectors pointed out in 2009, just cracks in the walls and separated walkways, were still there.
There's a question right from an email just handed to me from Felix, who lives in Richmond, who says city officials are claiming serious reporting errors, in this investigation. Can you respond? First to you, Amy.
Sure. I would just like to say that before we published everything, I have talked to the city manager about what we were going to publish. Also, sent detailed a list of all of the things that were included in the investigation to Tim Jones, asking him to respond and point out if there were any inaccuracies, and that we would be happy to correct them before we publish. So I haven't heard back. Yeah.
Bill Lindsay, you want to get anything on the air here?
Ms. Harris did talk to me. I don't think I confirmed, and I don't agree with a lot of what's in there, but I don't want to miss the big picture. The big picture is that the Housing Authority needs to get better. It needs to improve. And it's not about finding factual errors in a story. It's about doing better service for our residents.
And what about some of the recent stuff that's come out? I mean, the residents are top priority, I realize, but spending money on meals and on parties and things of this sort.
Well, you mentioned the bill from New York. The Housing Authority executive director was not even there. That was the Housing Advisory Commission. They were at a conference in New York, and they were there at the invitation of a nonprofit that does a lot of housing work to make a presentation on Richmond. So Mr. Jones authorized the expenditure, but he wasn't there. His last business related trip out of California, as I understand it, was in 2009. I think the other one out of the Bay Area was in Fresno in 2012. So it's not. I think that we need to follow HUD guidelines, local guidelines in terms of all our expenditures. And we've had some shortcomings in that in the past. There's no question about it. And again, it's about shoring that up. The individual that has since been terminated from the city was actually the acting executive director when I came to the city in 2005. I think certainly we've had an upgrade from that leadership.
If you want more information, by the way, on Richmond's public housing troubles, you can tune in to KQED Newsroom Friday at 8 p.m. on KQED Channel 9. But in the meantime, let me bring in you, our caller, Sally. You're first up. Sally's calling us from Richmond. Hi, Sally.
Okay, hi. And I don't live in conventional housing. I do have a housing choice voucher. which I got through a lottery when I was a full-time teacher in San Francisco Unified School District, which tells you how well teachers are paid. I know I'm going to sound like I'm defending the Housing Authority, but folks really don't understand how housing authorities have to work. Hey, the Housing Authority is a landlord, and like every landlord in rent-controlled areas who complains, well, you don't let us charge enough for rent, so we can't maintain the building to do that. Housing authorities cannot raise their rents to cover expenses. Rents are based on the tenant's income, not upon what might be the market rate or a percentage.
Yeah, but forgive me, Sally, a lot of those tenants' incomes have not been checked according to the articles that I've been reading, and there's a net of about hundreds of thousands of dollars that hasn't even been collected. Isn't that right, Ms. Harris?
Yeah. Just in the most recent data that we have from HUD, the Housing Authority failed to collect more than $157,000 in rent from tenants in 2012. That's rent and other tenant charges as well, like utilities. You know, and in past years, this was the same problem. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars of uncollected rent, which is kind of a basic of property management.
And let me thank Sally for the call. But there's also, Bill Lindsay, some real problems with Section 8 here, too, aren't there?
Section 8, I'm not aware of as many problems. Certainly there's more Section 8 units, but, you know, I'll acknowledge if there's income verification problems, we need to get on it. In terms of the rent collection, I think even private landlords have a problem with rent collection. It's difficult to do an eviction process with public housing tenants. And you know, on the one hand, you know, we're being criticized in the article for late fees on delinquent payments, and on the other hand, we're being criticized because we haven't collected $157,000 in rents.
You're still $7 million in debt, though, at this point.
We're about $7 million in debt. Some of it is longstanding, and as you indicated earlier on, there's a plan to deal with that.
What about evicting those squatters on the sixth floor? They're still there, I believe, aren't they?
When we went before, there were clear signs of squatting, and we went multiple times and saw squatters up there. And I know in the Housing Authority's records in the past, they have instructed their maintenance staff to secure some of the abandoned units from squatters. But, you know, squatters that we talked to said that they
even told you how easy
in.
It was for them to get through. Didn't
right.
They
yeah. showed us how to go into the units and how all of the door, the security locks were just always busted. And they said the security guards don't go up there and just don't check.
And that is a problem with the security guards. And we have a problem with squatters in a lot of blighted and abandoned houses throughout Richmond. That's a citywide issue. And frankly, if a security guard is not capable of handling it, they need to call the police and deal with that.
Let me get Charles on here. Charles, join us. Hi.
Yes, I'd like to see this whole study broadened. I recently had a situation where after 4.5 years after an application, I was invited in to see a housing unit that is located in the southeast corner of the Clark Kerr campus of the University of California. And it is senior housing, it is cooperative, and they do have a great deal of federal funding. What I saw was appalling. I don't know that this falls into the same genre of incidents that we're talking about vis-a-vis Richmond, but I think that this is a very serious problem that plagues the entire Bay Area, specifically the East Bay.
Well, the East Bay and one might add San Francisco certainly had its problems with Housing Authority. Charles, thank you for that call. I want to get another caller on here from Richmond, and that's Zach. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. You know, I just want to ask, you know, back in high school, I took a computer science course, and one of the first things they taught me was that a computer does exactly what you tell it to do. And so I heard the city manager and saying that, you know, this problem is a systems error, and, you know, we need to work on the system and whatnot. But I just want to hear from the city manager, you know, what is the inconsistency? What's the human error going into using these work orders? Because I find it hard to believe that a computer is just dropping these repairs when they're being put in by concerned residents.
And let me actually dovetail that. Zach, thank you for the call, and direct this also to our guest, Bill Lindsay, the city manager of Richmond. This is from John, who writes on our website, not to disrespect Mr. Lindsay, but this argument that it is a system problem is the most overused government bureaucracy excuse there is and doesn't actually say anything. These systems are put in place and monitored by people and employees, and then it is the job of management to actually verify that bad data isn't used and employees aren't lying. That is management's entire job, period. You don't have any other job. Saying it is a systems problem is basically saying that no one is doing their jobs. So go get on the ground and see what is happening. When was the last time Mr. Lindsay personally visited one of these housing complexes, and how about an unannounced visit at night?
I think that was really well said by your listener in terms of an entire system. And with respect to Zachary's comment, when I say a system problem, I'm not talking about a computer. I'm not talking about just the black box. It's the system of what is data being gathered on the ground, what's being reported, how it's tracked, how it's measured, how it's followed up on. It's a series of human interactions, and actually the black box that tracks the data is only a small piece of it. So yes, certainly I think the most critical part of what we need to address is the human element.
HUD said that Tim Jones was ineffective. I mean, they actually labeled him as ineffective. Yet you seem unwilling to go that far in terms of his performance.
Well, I just don't think it's an appropriate forum, if you'll pardon the expression, to talk about an individual's performance. But I do think that simply changing an executive director would not address the problems. It's too simplistic. It would be like saying if you have a problem with academic performance, that if you just change the teacher the next day, everything is better. You've got to look at curriculum. You've got to look at facilities. You've got to look at principal, and you've got to look at funding. All of those things go into it. And so that is an isolated piece of it that certainly we need to evaluate, but it's only a piece of it. And to say, well, that's a solution, I think is overly simplified.
There's another listener sends an email, and a listener named Cynthia, who says the Richmond person, that's you, City Manager Lindsay, is not being honest. Private landlords agree to provide housing that is kept in shape by the private landlord. The only thing that he has to do in Section 8 housing cases is inspect the unit once a year. In Santa Clara County, they only inspect every 3 years. So that is not accurate that they have to provide all that work. Landlords do a lot. This is the housing front of the war on the poor. Have you been in the units?
Recently, as in within the last year, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I think was blast. Section 8 units, I think that was addressing Section 8. And landlords actually do have the significant responsibility on maintenance of Section 8 units. And by and large, I think the landlords in the Section 8 programs in Richmond do a good job. We get some tenant complaints, but they're really important to the housing system.
Here's another caller. Steve, hi, you're on. Good morning.
Oh, hi, good morning. Yes, I'm calling to ask. I heard about security personnel that are hired by the agency and do not even go out there to do what they're paid to do. My first question is, have you paid them? And since they haven't done their job, are you going to demand that that money come back? And my third question is, are you going to look for other security services that will do the job that they agreed to do? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the questions. Bill Lindsay.
Yeah, I think the answer to all three of those questions is yes, we have paid them for their services. I forgot actually the second question. But
are you looking for another service?
Are we looking for another service? Yeah, their contract is up, and we'll go out to bid and we'll check. And one of the things we did when we
you get your money back for services not rendered, though.
Well, we may end up doing that. That's we'll look and see if there was a material breach in their contractual responsibilities. That's also part of what we will look at. And in terms of the security personnel, we get the police department involved in writing out the specs and evaluate the proposals that come in, and it's really disappointing that this has come up, because it came up also back in 2009 when we switched security services back then. So it's got to stop.
A question that comes from a tweet from Jessica. Let me go to you on this, Amy Julia Harris. She says, why is the city manager of Richmond not answering the question about why Tim Jones is still in his position? I think actually it's implicitly been answered by Bill Lindsay that this is a personnel matter, and that, you know, everything has to be seen in terms of employee system, the whole picture, the whole. How much responsibility from your investigation falls on his shoulders, though?
Well, looking at all of the reports that HUD provided, and these were all auditor reports, they laid a lot of the blame at Tim Jones's feet. They did say that it was a larger issue as well, you know, that there were financial problems at the housing agency, management problems, untrained staff, that all of those were factors. But they did say that at the end of the day, you know, it's the executive director was ineffective in making sure that Richmond was complying with federal guidelines for good property management. So they did point a lot of the blame at Tim Jones. If you go through all of the records, you know, they kind of have places of who is responsible and what the breakdown is, and breakdowns in governance were just throughout these reports.
So what can HUD do? What's the next step for them? I mean, takeover? Is that what we're talking about?
They're not at that point yet. What HUD did was, Richmond has been on this federal troubled list recently from 2009 onward, and in 2011, after Richmond landed on this troubled list again, HUD came in and began working with the city manager and a lot of the other Richmond Housing Authority staff to come up with an improvement plan that was to get the finances in order, to get some of the management problems corrected. The city council approved that in February of 2013, and so far, HUD has said that they are on track with this improvement plan.
That sounds positive, I guess, from your perspective, Bill Lindsay. Huh?
That is positive. And I think, you know, I give HUD Region 9 staff credit for approaching me. And we did deal with it, again, in a holistic sort of way. And it was nice to hear Ms. Baskell, the Region 9 administrator, say that we are on the right track to resolving problems, and we intend to stay on the right track.
Well,
and
good luck.
And thank you.
I hope you stay on the right track. Speaking of tracks, we're going to talk all about railroads in the next hour ahead. There's an easy segue. I want to thank Bill Lindsay, City Manager, City of Richmond.
You're very welcome.
I also thank Amy Julia Harris, Housing and Development Reporter for the Center of Investigative Reporting. And again, I think you can read all of your reports online now, right? They're all there for people to read in detail. Thank you both for being here. Again, another hour ahead, we're going to talk with Tom Zellner, who is the author of a book called Train, all about trains, past, present, and future, when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.